This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. That singing is from a trauma recovery workshop for survivors of the earthquake in Haiti. It's been nearly a year since the quake, but for many survivors, the psychological toll is still immense. Thousands lost loved ones. Many more are trying to cope with dark memories of the disaster while also adjusting to squalid conditions in tent cities. Even before the quake, Haiti's mental health system was far from ideal. There were fewer than 20 psychiatrists for the 9.5 million people who live there, and the country's two psychiatric hospitals were badly damaged by the earthquake. Boston-based Partners in Health is one of the groups working in Haiti to help fill the mental health care void. Joining us by cell phone from Haiti is Father Eddie Oustache, a psychologist and the director of mental health and psychosocial services for Partners in Health in Haiti. Just a warning that Father Eddie was only available by a cell phone with a poor connection, so it may be difficult to understand him sometimes. We're also joined by Dr. Giuseppe Raviola, the director of mental health for Partners in Health. Dr. Raviola says there's a huge need for more mental health services in Haiti to deal with a traumatized population.
We've met many people in significant distress. We have seen a lot of people over time who have developed post-traumatic responses, significant anxiety reactions, somatic problems, including headache, back pain, stomach problems. More severely, we're seeing severe depression. We're seeing people having difficulty eating, difficulty functioning, and then stepping up to a more severe level, we're also seeing people with psychotic reactions, hearing voices.
Father Eddie, could you give me some examples of the type of individual cases, the individual mental health cases you're seeing now in Haiti?
We're still seeing people facing, for instance, PTSD. And last time I went to a camp, one of our junior psychologists was listening to a man who faced all the symptoms related to PTSD. And the most significant point he raised during the session was the nightmare.
Nightmares.
Yeah, nightmares. And he was always falling in the ground, sleeping in two parts. The same experience he got around the earthquake. But these cases are really easy to treat. But the most complicated facts they are experiencing in the camps, for instance, is about people who were mentally ill before the earthquake and who became more vulnerable mentally after the earthquake. And some of these cases have been reported and referred to the psychiatric unit in Port-au-Prince. But the services are not really adequate.
Giuseppe Raviola, so the earthquake itself was a trauma. And are you now finding that as people have not been able to find their families, to find jobs, to have schooling, to have housing, that becomes a new kind of trauma?
Exactly. There's actually a term called complex trauma, which really refers to exactly what you're describing, which is one event compounded over another one. Early on after the earthquake, one of our staff, we were doing some clinical consultation, and the staff person brought up the situation of a young woman who had been in the hurricane in Gonaive in 2008. She had lost both her parents. She and her partner moved to Port-au-Prince. While in Port-au-Prince, she received a diagnosis of HIV. Then in the earthquake, her partner was killed. And so these are the kinds of complex situations our clinicians are having to deal with and ask the question, where do you begin?
Give me an example of some of the other kind of individual cases you're dealing with where psychiatric problems are beginning to emerge a year after the earthquake happened.
Most recently we met somebody who essentially had developed a manic break. He had been living at home with his father and some other family members. He essentially had a pre-existing problem, but some of the stresses related to the quake, some of the stresses related to lack of basic needs really led to this break. He ended up in a situation where he was tied. He escaped from the home. He was
tied down?
He was tied down, yes.
At a psychiatric
facility? No, he was tied down at home.
His family who didn't know what to do with him?
He was tied down at home by his family who did not know how to deal with the situation, where he was manic, so he had a lot of energy. So he was unable to sleep. He was unable to stay calm. And so we ended up tracking him all the way to Port-au-Prince. We provided some initial treatment. We were able to get him back home.
Are you finding that that is often the solution for people with mental illnesses? They're tied down at home because their family members don't know how to deal with them, and the mental health infrastructure in the country is so inadequate that that's how people are treated?
This is a complex question, because often traditional and family systems can be very helpful in supporting people with mental illness. There can be stigma around mental illness. Families often don't know how to manage acute psychiatric problems, and there are also belief systems which really are tied to the family and to the traditional healing network, and people don't seek care from more traditional formal practitioners. I mean, generally, globally, the first line of practitioners seen by people with mental illness is the primary care physician. I'd say in Haiti,
in the U.S.
In the U.S., that's true also. In Haiti, I would say it's the traditional healer.
Are you both flying down from the U.S., psychiatrists and mental health workers, and also training Haitians to be mental health workers and counselors?
Since the earthquake happened, we've grown our mental health psychosocial team. So we went from having 3 psychologists prior to the earthquake to having 18 currently, and a staff of 24, including social workers and social work assistants. But there's a lot of interest from our local staff. The total staff numbers for Zami La Santé are 4,500 people in the system. 2,000 of those people are community health workers. And we have enough physicians who are very interested in providing mental health care to be able to train them. So that's a gradual process of training people to provide mental health care, because there hasn't been a tradition of psychiatric care in medical education in Haiti.
Father Eddie?
Yes?
How has living in the tent cities aggravated the mental health issues that some of these earthquake survivors have?
It is really serious. And as long as these people are facing this kind of uncertainty, this kind of you know, physical, geographical insecurity, it will remain a source of stress and even to drive them to mental illness.
People have been now living for 10 months with a lack of change, and there's a lot of aggravation. So tensions have been rising. So the combination of lack of basic needs, sanitation, security, disruption of family and community networks has been a real problem.
And what does that do to them psychologically? I mean, beyond depression, I imagine.
A lot of the symptoms, for example, that we have been talking about, the headache, the body pain, the stomach upset, the general sense of dis-ease, compounded by, for example, lack of food and water, it takes its toll over time, and stress takes its toll on the body and the mind and places people at greater vulnerability.
When you were in Haiti, were these mental health needs obvious in the form of people psychotic or hallucinating on the streets, or are they actually not obvious because people don't want to admit that they're having mental health problems?
The presentation of mental health problems has been obvious to those of us trained to recognize them. We've seen so many people in the streets with problems, with psychological problems that are manifesting as psychosis, as other ways. Every person I've seen has been in a significant amount of distress.
What if I went down there? I'm not trained as a mental health professional. Would I show up and realize that this is a society in serious need of psychiatrists and psychologists?
I think you would. You will see people lying in the street, disoriented, naked, covered in mud. If you were to go to the clinics, you will meet people who are, again, not able to function, listless, lacking hope.
Giuseppe Raviola, do you find that cultural differences are a factor here, meaning you can't simply go down to Haiti and try to treat people with psychiatrists or antidepressants, as we often do in the United States, but you have to consider the Haitian model of healthcare, or do you have to factor in the practice of voodoo? How does that affect how you treat people with mental illnesses in Haiti?
Wherever you're treating people, it's helpful to understand what their local idioms of emotional distress are. What are their explanatory models? How do people understand their own problems? In Haiti, these kinds of issues generally have been dealt with through the family and through the traditional healer. People will go to the traditional healer and they may be helped. Sometimes when people are not helped by the traditional healer, they will go to a physician, a more biomedical practitioner.
Would a traditional healer be a voodoo priest?
Yes, a traditional healer. By traditional healer, I mean voodoo priest. For example, we saw a young man who was living in a very poor area who was brought by his brother to one of our hospitals. He had tried to commit suicide. He had been depressed for years. He had tried to commit suicide by eating battery acid that is used to kill dogs eating crops. He came to us with his brother with significant chest pain and esophageal pain. And what he said to us was he had gone to 5 traditional healers and had not found resolution for this particular problem. He had received help for other problems, but not for this one. And what we did was we had him hospitalized for the medical problem, and he also received some supportive therapy from one of our Haitian psychologists.
In Haiti, is there more of a stigma associated with mental health than there is in the U.S.? And if there is, does that make people reluctant to seek out help if they think they may have a mental illness?
Often, people will understand a mental health problem in the Haitian context to be the result of the casting of a curse. So there is some negative connotation around having a mental health problem. So that has implications to how someone might seek help, might receive help, and receive support as well.
So how do you find those people if they're not coming to you?
This is a longer-term question for us to approach carefully, is how do you do active case finding? How do you go into the community and seek out people experiencing these things? One thing that we have done since the earthquake is embed psychologists and social workers into our rehabilitation teams, which are going into the community to work with amputees. What's happening is that they're spending a lot less time with the amputees than they are with people with other kinds of problems, developmental disabilities, psychotic disorders. People in the community are being found who have significant mental health problems who have not received any care.
So what is the answer? Is it massive armies of psychiatrists? Is it massive doses of antidepressants? Is it addressing the basic needs like housing and food before you can even hope to address the psychiatric needs?
Mm-hmm. I think part of the answer is coordination among different organizations and groups with the Ministry of Health, with the World Health Organization, so that people are operating on along a similar plan. And then we need to be dealing with basic needs. For example, the current situation with cholera is a real crisis. It's really hard to address these psychiatric mental health needs in the context of continuing emergency. So, you know, we have to continue to address major problems like cholera. And then we're going to try to develop skill sets across all levels of healthcare workers so that we're working towards a system of care.
Do you feel hopeful about being able to address the mental health needs of Haitians, or is it difficult to feel hopeful given what the country's up against?
On the one hand, of course, it's difficult to feel hopeful. On the other hand, I have been so impressed with the work of our clinicians and our staff and the degree to which the people we've worked with have improved that I have a lot of hope.
Giuseppe Raviola, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Sasha.
Giuseppe Raviola is Director of Mental Health for Partners in Health. And Father Eddie, thank you very much as well.
It was a pleasure, Sasha. Thanks.
You're welcome. Father Ustache is a psychologist and Director of Mental Health and Psychosocial Services for Partners in Health in Haiti. Coming up, we introduce you to Lexington High School football coach Bill Tye. Today, the 86-year-old coaches his last game after a 6-decade career. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.